The rest of the cast is revealed in anime form as the final season of Cardcaptor Sakura begins.
We're Lucy and Robin, and we'll be your guides through Clamp's Wonderland. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Did a little convention last weekend, as in last weekend before recording. I have no idea when this is coming out. I got a little mild food poisoning at the convention.
No.
But I'm here now. How are you doing?
I am also hanging in. I am gearing up for my yearly pirate camping event, which is like kind of like Ren Faire, but like you don't leave, or no one leaves. Like you're just there the whole time. I mean, not like no one can leave. Like people leave, but it's not like a day thing. I mean, that sets up for patrons. You're just all there having fun. You are the event. Ooh. So that's happening, and I'm excited about it and slightly stressed about it because we have lots of things to get done, but it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
And I am also very excited to talk about CCS, so let's go, Robin!
As we hinted in the opening, this is the third and final season of the anime, not counting Clear Card, since it's an entirely different production, and it began airing in September of 1999, which I believe is also about the time that it is in-universe, since it picks up the story at the end of summer break. A lot of anime try to time their seasons with the real seasons, which, you know, in the time of streaming and binge-watching, may be kind of a lost art, but American, and I assume other TV, also did this, so you could have holiday stories that take place when they feel most relevant, etc., stuff like that. Especially for school stories, it really helps ground them for kids and maybe even add a little help to busy, confusing young lives. Plus, it's great for marketing. This season has a new opening song, I Am a Dreamer, a beautiful Maya Sakamoto song. She was pretty young when she recorded this piece. Her career in voice acting and as a pop star started very early for her, which isn't exactly unusual, but still, damn. She's a venerable talent with number one pop hit, success on stage as well as screen, and is like the official dub voice for Natalie Portman, which is fun. I adore Maya Sakamoto, and so do Clamp. They're on pretty friendly terms these days, and I don't know, according to an interview from 2010, thanks to Chibi Yuto's blog, we know that they didn't meet each other when she recorded this song for Sakura, since they never attended the same industry parties, maybe because they were too busy at the time. But her actual first recording for them was a song for the Clamp School Detectives Drama CD in 1997.
Aww!
yeah, crazy. She's provided a lot of songs and voices for Clamp projects, which I will not stargaze about at the moment, even though I think we're exempt from that in this part, but whatever. Anyway, she was like 16 when she did the Clamp School CD.
Wow.
So she was, whatever, you know, 18 when she did this. Speaking of repeat voices for Clamp projects, Ariel's voice actor, Nozomu Sasaki, was also Clef, but is probably much more famously Yusuke Urameshi from Yu Yu Hakusho. It's interesting to cast him with an adult man while Shoudan and Yukito were not cast that way. It does change how you view these characters, maybe. Like, Shoudan sounds like an earnest kid, Yukito a dreamy, unearthly creature, maybe that is just me and my Megumi Ogata obsession, sorry. and Ariel sounds older than he looks, which is appropriate.
It's true. Alright, so we start with episode 47. Kato observes that summer is ending, and Sakura is enjoying her free time, writing a letter to Mizuki-sensei. Kato admits, while eating her watermelon, that he's glad Sakura was chosen as his master because he'd never get along with, like, bratty Shoudan if that's how it had gone.
Speaking of whom, Shoudan apparently hasn't gone back to Hong Kong, at least not yet, even though the Clo cards have definitely been claimed by their rightful master.
But relaxing summer times can't last forever because Sakura realizes that she had so much free time because she stole it from her homework time and is now stuck rushing to get her homework done yet again.
While this very relatable panic is happening, we see strange butterfly-garbed figures gathering around Sakura's house, ending with a shot of someone mysteriously standing there smiling creepily.
Mysterious to some, but it's obviously just like Ariel. Anyway, Sakura has to go to the first day of school early, and Toya teases her about leaving too early to be able to see Yuki, but actually she does run into him. He's yawning and carrying some emergency groceries for breakfast, he says. He just can't seem to get enough to eat.
He does throw her a candy as a parting gift again, a la the first episode, cementing for her that while Yukito may be an aspect of Yue, he's still very much himself.
Sakuta walks in on Shaodan, who is early so he can take his turn to clean the classroom, and Sakuta doesn't see him because, like, he did not respond when she said hello to the room, and so she's cheerfully singing to herself.
Of course, this makes Shaodan incredibly embarrassed and blushy, and Sakuta gets pretty blushy herself when she realizes she's been caught in such an unguarded moment. They push through it, though.
She checks in later with Shaodan about his summer vacation, which he's not very forthcoming about. But he confirms that yes, he does have to go back to Hong Kong now that the card capture business has been concluded. He blushes when he says, it's not like we'll never see each other again, and she's a little relieved.
At what he says, not at his blushing.
Yes.
Tomoyo is sad that Sakura isn't fighting cards anymore because she has so many more outfits she wants to make her wear. Sakura wearing her designs is the peak of her happiness, she repeats, despite Sakura's slight embarrassment.
Their new teacher is their old teacher, Mr. Tanada. This was a big reveal for some reason in the episode. The bigger reveal, of course, is that they have another transfer student. This is Ariel, obviously, whose slightly creepy face Sakura describes as looking kind.
He sneaks up on Sakura later when she's sitting outside, just thinking about how it feels like she's met him before. And when she shares that thought with him, he says maybe they met before they were born.
They introduce themselves again and shake hands, which Shaodan, spying on them with Tomoyo, does not approve of. He's also nonplussed about how Tomoyo describes it as a perfect romantic moment.
Sakura sees him looking upset later and offers to help him. After all, he helped her so much. But he won't tell her what's up, of course. He does say he's not leaving so soon after all.
Which I'm sure has absolutely nothing to do with the arrival of Ariel.
Sakura's pleased to hear this and gets some popsicles to celebrate, but Toya shows up to steal hers. Yukito's there too, which smooths things over a little bit, but Toya's being weird, looking around like he's on the run. They got a new transfer student too, and here they are, a high school student in a girl's school uniform who jumps on Toya, which gives Yuki pause, though he ends up thinking it's funny, and introduces themselves as Nakuru, of course. They seem to be very attached to Toya, who is not into it.
They run off seconds later, followed by rain, which ruins the laundry that Toya and Sakura had to put out to dry. Toya has to run off to work, leaving Sakura to inform Kero-chan of the new Ariel info. Lots of joking about a very game-distracted Kero asking which kanji Ariel uses to spell his name, when it's in katakana because it isn't a Japanese word, not that you can pick kanji for a non-Japanese name, but that's where the joke is here, yay!
So, the rain isn't going away, and the Book of Clo, which stores the cards, remember, is glowing. Sakura takes the book out of its drawer, and the dark room is filled with sparkles as she remembers Clo Reed telling her he may come back and make trouble for her someday. Only, she's not remembering, maybe she's hearing?
Yeah, I swear he specifically did not say that at the end of the previous episode, and we thought it was weird. Maybe at that point they weren't quite sure if they'd get another season.
Or maybe this is a vision and not a memory.
Yeah. Well, now the book has Sakura printed on it. What does it all mean?
For now, it means Sakura is going to go and see if she can do something about this rain that is mysteriously falling only on Tomoida. And that means a cute little Tomoyo-designed raincoat outfit. Kero senses great power and transforms himself, but a waterspout washes Sakura down the penguin slide before she has a chance to do much. Great use of the set.
It's time to take out the key and summon a clo card, but when Sakura shouts release, nothing happens! She repeats it over and over, but the rain just keeps falling. Another waterspout comes at Sakura, but Kero blocks it. He tells Sakura that he needs to talk with Yue about what the fuck is happening, so she should retreat and invite Yukito over.
Pacing was a little slow in this episode for me, but still, the animation quality and shading and colors are so top-notch. Not a bad way to start the new season.
Yeah! Alright, so episode 48. It is still raining in Tomoeda. Toya knows something is up that morning when Sakura doesn't joke back at him after he pokes fun at her for always sleeping in, this morning being an exception.
She gets up the courage to ask Toya to bring Yukito over, and he says, yeah, if there's food, he'll come. Kero is still brooding over the presence he felt last night, though.
At school, Yamazaki-kun tells us an insane story about penguins making rain, but this is interrupted by Ariel giving Sakura a flower. Shaodan does not approve of this. Later, he and Sakura discuss the presence, the powerful person who is sending this rain.
In the high school across the field, Toya watches them with his own disapproval. But more importantly, he wants to tell Yuki something serious. and Nakudu throws himself at him to interrupt. Toya ignores Nakudu as usual, and walks off to deliver some papers to a classroom, leaving them alone together. Nakudu is all like, "You don't know yet, then I'll snatch it up," leaving Yuki looking quite befuddled.
Poor Yuki, he must be having a very confusing time already.
Sakura walks home alone in the rain, only to be joined by Ariel, who wants to check in with her. She can't be very forthcoming, of course, about what's going on in her life, but he says the flowers came from his house and invites her over to see them sometime. They part ways, and Sakura thinks about how nice he was.
Back at the house, they finish up dinner and Toya has to leave for work early. Yuki bids him a fond farewell and is immediately hijacked into Yue by Kato-chan. Kato wants to talk to Yue alone, so they kind of like kick Sakura out to bring a tea refill.
After a very contentless back and forth, they agree to all go try to investigate again. So we go back to Penguin Park. Even Tomoyo is there. Sakura takes a moment to ask Yue about the whole being Yukito thing. Yuki doesn't remember anything Yue does, but Yue says actually he remembers everything that happens to Yukito. Embarrassing.
Yeah, and Sakura just still can't see them as the same person, which, like, understandable.
Next, we get so much action as water spouts start attacking Sakura again. But Yue, despite how standoffish and intimidating he's been, grabs Sakura and saves her from being blasted, even though he gets hurt himself.
Again, release doesn't work, and the Guardian's powers aren't working either. In fact, Kato can't even move. A water spout sucks Sakura up into a vortex in the sky while her friends watch helplessly. Yue also senses something familiar in this power.
More water spouts suck up each of her friends, and Sakura, who can't breathe immersed in water, knows that she has to do something or they'll all die. The show does not say die, by the way. It stays in a very safe zone language-wise by just kind of trailing off in a way that you can do with Japanese sentences a little more cleanly than you can translating it, but there you go.
Yes. Sakura's determination resolves into a new power as she starts glowing and remembers, or hears, Cloud's voice reminding her that her staff has her own star's power, not the sun and moon. And she recites to the staff a new incantation about how she commands it, and the staff does transform from a key. But nothing happens with the card she chose. Why? What's going on?
She realizes that with the new staff, she may need to reintroduce herself to the cards, too. It works after she recites a command to the fiery card and releases it to cancel out the water. I don't know why that's the choice of card she made, but it seems to work, so we won't question it, I guess.
Yeah, my Pokemon brain was like, that's not how type advantage works! Anyway, the commands she gave the staff and card include a reference to stars.
Her own star.
And she thinks about how that works. Once the battle is over, she collapses, and Yue picks her up, having a moment with his own difficulties he won't disclose to Kato or even to the audience.
Meanwhile, three shadowy figures with some butterfly wings going on observe the results of this evening's caper. Who could they be? We know who they are. We just read the comic.
Yeah, sorry, the illusion is gone. All right, episode 49. Sakura wakes up in bed with her dad and Toya standing over her. She insists she's fine, just tired, but they are still very concerned. They don't let her go to school, and Toya says he'll leave practice early so Dad can go do his own work without worrying. As he leaves the room, Toya gives the toy form Kato a glare as he leaves.
Poor Kato is stressed about this.
At school, Tomoyo offers to take Shaldun to check on Sakura, and he's like, At school, Tomoyo offers to take Shaldun to check on Sakura because she can see he's, like, worrying, and she's the goat!
Also at school, Toya tries to tell Yuki something important, again, as Yuki chows down on multiple Hokies, but they're distracted by Nakudu being amazing at sports and not joining any clubs, just like Yuki and Toya. Toya tells Yuki that's not the only thing that reminds him of Yuki about them, though.
Mysterious! Sakura wakes up at 3 p.m. to the doorbell. It's Shaldun and Tomoyo with cupcakes! I want to wake up to cupcakes!
Hell yeah.
They have tea and cake in her room, and Shaldun is delighted to be there, but can't say so. She fills them in on what the fuck is happening with the cards and the stuff.
Shaldun asks her more about the process, and she shows them a card, which sends Tomoyo into ecstasies because it is a cute pink Sakura card.
Around this point, I also freaked out about how pink they are, because in addition to being adorable, because I like pink, the addition of color makes it so clear they are new cards, whereas in the manga you kind of had to, like, look closely and compare them to the old cards to, like, spot the difference.
Yeah, that's a good point. Black and white comics are exquisite, but color does add whole other dimensions, and this is a great example of a detail that works really well in the anime.
Yeah. Kendo says that since the new cards are Sakuta's power, they're draining her, as opposed to borrowing the power Chloe had invested in them. But Shaolin is disturbed to hear that Kendo and Yue were bound in their true forms. Only Sakuta should be able to do that. Sakuta and Chloe read!
Gasp. Later, we get narration reading the letter that Sakura is writing to Mizuka-sensei, checking in with her about all this, too. She hears beautiful piano music. It's Ariel. He was playing for her, apparently. He's super good.
He plays a song that Tomoyo is practicing with the choir, and she shows up as if on cue, so he can tell her that he heard her the other day and thinks she has a great voice. Sakura asks him to accompany her, and we get a little song.
Something happens with the piano, though. The keys start glowing red? This cannot be good. Later, Shaodan and Sakura discuss the how is Chloe doing this if he's dead dilemma, which thank you kids for noticing that this is messed up. As they walk through the halls, they hear Tomoyo scream, "The piano has come to life and is ramming the wall."
That escalated quickly. Sakura has a vision of Chloe. She senses his presence, but the piano is attacking.
The staff had to draw this whole ass piano turning and crashing into things. That is wild.
I was like super attached to this piano for some reason, so I guess they did a good job.
Yeah. Shaodan uses a lightning tag against it and it falls to the ground with a musical crash, breaking a few legs, but which is really tragic. Like, I also got attached to this piano. I was like, oh no, piano-kun, don't die. But as the kids are thanking Shaodan for using his magic, the piano has to make him look like a little bitch by getting back up and floating after them.
Such a determined piano-kun. It chases them upstairs, but Sakura has an idea.
They lure it up to the roof.
Oh my god.
And she brings out the song card to sing with Tomoyo, which enchants the piano into chasing the card and hurling itself off the roof.
Piano overboard! Piano-kun over!
This song card is now a Sakura card, leaving Sakura to pass out and fall into Shaodan's tiny child arms. And our shadowy figures watch with a "looks like this is going to be fun" expression.
I'm now even more invested in this piano. No, piano coon! Alright, episode 50. Sakura goes to school really early, again. She sees Nakuru jump on Toya, and then meets up with Tomoyo, who says there's a new piano, finally, so I guess time has passed, maybe a week.
Rest in peace, piano-kun. Sakura and her friends share cookies that Nika made that blow their minds. This is helping cheer up Sakura, which was Nika's intention. She has to stay positive. Nika takes out her sewing project, a teddy bear she's making from a kit.
Tomoyo tells them about the teddy bear's birthday idea. Since you don't know precisely when a teddy bear you buy was made, you name it and wrap a ribbon around it, and that's its birthday. They also talk about the tradition where you name a bear your own name and give it to someone you love. They say this is a foreign tradition. My brief Googling didn't bring anything up, but hey listeners, is this a thing in your country?
Ariel's watching Shaodan, who's watching the girls, and he says, "Aw, girls talking about stuffed animals are sure cute."
Shaodan ain't playing, though. Ariel still wants to be friendly, and he says, "Hey, I'm still new to Japan, want to help me out?" But when he says Shaodan's full name, the shinies go out of Shaodan's eyes, and he falls out of his sitting tree into Ariel's arms. He wakes up immediately and runs off, politely apologizing, but, that's unsettling.
Ariel continues to be a little weird and creepy. As class lets out, Nika runs off from her friends to give Terada-sensei the bear. Yamazaki tells Tomoyo and Sakura about how bears used to be some kind of sea cucumber, and Chiharu drags him away before Sakura buys it too hard.
I'm sorry, I forgot about the sea cucumber bears. So, I love Yamazaki-kun. Ariel invites himself along with Sakura and Tomoyo to the craft store, and of course Shaodan won't let them go alone. By the way, Terada-sensei accepts the teddy bear, which makes Rika so happy. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just move along.
Sakura notices Shaodan as being weird at the store, but he denies being angry or anything. He's just so irked by Ariel. Tomoyo and Ariel know how to be fake-ass customer service bitches with each other, though, so they're fine.
I do love that description.
I mean, it's what it was.
Yeah, it's so true.
They just, like, look at each other, their smiley face. They're just like, oh, yes, everything is just fine. It's so cute and good. It is fine that we're here, and we definitely don't sense anything off about the other one.
Everything anyway. Is so normal.
Everything is so normal, and we're so normal.
Anyway, Sakura finds the kit she wants, for Yuki, of course, and this prompts a conversation with Tomo- with- I don't know who I was talking about. Anyway, Sakura finds the kit she wants, for Yuki, of course, and this prompts a conversation with Tomoyo, who isn't buying one, about how Tomoyo is okay if the person she loves is happy even if they're not with her. She'd love them to like her back, but if they don't, it's okay.
Sakura doesn't understand that this is about her, but does say she's sure whoever Tomoyo likes is happy, and Tomoyo is at least somewhat satisfied with this. Ariel says cryptic things about what string can be used for. Tying up roast beef, says Shaodan, which I fucking love. Anyway, that doesn't go- that conversation just doesn't go anywhere at the store, though.
Later that evening, Sakura is working on her teddy bear, and it looks a lot like Kato since the eyes and nose are set almost on the same line together and the ears are big and low set as well. But before she can fix it, they sense a presence, and the next thing we know, she and Shaolin are out looking for it.
Suddenly, Shaolin loses control of his own body and starts slashing at Sakura with his sword. He's cognizant enough to warn her to get the fuck out, but she's having a hard time adjusting to this crazy turn of events. She does sense Klo's presence, though, and assumes this is related. Shaolin attacks Tomoyo and makes her drop her camera.
And we erupted into nose!
Tomoyo's camera. Especially with, like, the stuff she was saying earlier, it did feel like a weirdly important and terrible moment.
Yeah, like, let Tomoyo have happiness, God! Anyway, Sakura can't see anything that would explain what's going on with Shaodan, and Shaodan struggles against this magic by taking out a water tag and spraying water around, revealing these glowing strings manipulating him like a marionette.
Sakura releases the sword card and cuts the strings, and again collapses, into Shaodan's arms again. Tiny shippers must have been losing their minds. Ariel gives us a, this is another use for string, Sakura, line, and we see him at home with his friends. I mean, his hench people? I don't know if those are friends or not. Meaning, we finally meet cute mascot form Spinel and see Nakudu in school uniform. They again explain that while Spinel thinks they should wear the boys' uniform, they prefer the girls' because it's cuter and also gender doesn't matter. Ariel transforms slash unseals them into their true forms, and they discuss how something interesting is about to happen, which in the doc I capitalized every word of that sentence because it's kind of like that.
The big thing is coming.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so episode 51. This episode begins with Sakura writing to Mizuki-sensei again. She says she's carrying the cards around with her at all times in case something happens. Ariel walks in on her looking at the cards, and she has to talk fast to refocus on the fact she's got a teacher pen pal in England, instead of, like, revealing the magic bullshit in her life.
He wants to see the bear she made, but she's embarrassed by it. He's good at crafts, maybe he can help, and he promises not to laugh at it. He gives her advice about how to de-ketoify it, ears smaller and higher up, mostly.
Obviously, he does not admit that it looks like Kato, but, I mean...
Ariel looks ominous standing over the bear with scissors, though. Good job, animators. She's delighted that the bear looks like a bear after his advice and thanks him for his help. He goes down on one knee and kisses her hand and says he's a little jealous of whoever she's giving gifts to, which makes her go boiling red, and then he walks off. Oh my god, Klo, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you like this?
Why are you like this, man? Chiharu gives Yamazaki a bear, which he uses as a launching pad for an insane tall tale about Suwama, a sweet, which prompts her to wreck him a bit since he's missing the romantic gesture of naming the bear after her. Oh.
Bears are in the air, and Shaodan has one for Sakura too, which he bought after the girls walked away from the display, apparently. a kit, right? Yuki walks by and climbs over the fence, throwing his bag of hoagies to Shaodan, inviting himself over to eat lunch with this poor blushing child. He shares food with Xiaodan despite being so hungry he's eating like a whole carton of milk and like these entire giant sandwiches. Anyway, he pauses his food intake to ask Xiaodan if he's giving the bear to someone, and Xiaodan runs away from his feelings again because he is stressed that he likes Sakura now after only ever liking Yukito before. Bisexual icon Xiaodan. Good job, kid.
Of course.
You're too relatable.
Of course, he runs into Sakura in the flesh, standing with her bear, and the music drops and a breeze blows and they have a moment, but he runs away from his feelings again. Why does he feel the same when he sees Sakura as when he sees Yukito? God, I don't know. Life is stressful, Xiaodan. I'm sorry.
To round things out, he then runs smack into Yue, who explains that he's just resonating with Yukito's moon power. He should search in himself and find who he actually likes, and returns his bear. This is important teddy bear business for, like, this, you know, divine moon creature to help him with. Oh, Yue, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dude.
Like, I know.
You don't even have a life. You're so depressed.
Yeah.
And there's just kids having feelings around you all the time. Yeah. No one cares about your dumb feelings because they're really dumb. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's not time to talk about Yue. What the fuck is happening in this episode, Lucy? Get me back on track.
So later, Sakura is telling Tomoyo about Ariel kissing her hand, and tries to explain it away as an English custom. Tomoyo points out he acts very mature, so different from fellow overseas student Xiaodan. Sakura also tells her about Xiaodan running away from her. Tomoyo says she's sure clueless about some things, poor Xiaodan, and asks if she has given her bear to Yuki yet. And since the answer is no, she wants a favor, which is to dress Sakura up and film her giving the bear to Yukito, because that's what Tomoyo likes.
And as embarrassed as Sakura is, she looks adorable, and Yukito does come to the door. She gives him the bear, but as he's admiring it, he faints, and then the bear grows to monstrous size and starts smashing things.
So if you've ever been embarrassed giving a gift to your crush, at least it didn't try to crush them and their house! Yue has emerged and saves Sakura and shoots some, I don't know, pink crystals at the bear.
They get away from the bear, but the bear is just like, it's big and it's there and it's still rampaging. Our villainous trio watch from afar as Sakura thanks her guardians, Kaido also showed up at some point in there, for their help, and transforms the key into a staff ready to go up against this giant rampaging teddy bear. She transforms the jump card into a Sakura card so she can use its power to, well, jump around like an X character while the bear destroys the town a little bit, just a little bit, for a treat. She calls up the sword card to round off against the bear, but the problem is that she kind of needs the fly card to get close enough. She can't really have fly and sword going at the same time because they both use her staff as a base, but that gives her an idea.
She asks Fly to put the wings somewhere else so she can use sword, and after transforming the fly card, she does indeed get her own wings.
Tomoyo looks enraptured.
As she should! That's the dream! Sakura defeats the bear, and everyone's delighted except Yue, who has caught some sense of the villain trio nearby. Sakura cuts off one of the bear's ears in the fight, and inside she finds a familiar magic circle on a slip of paper that may be purple or may just be shadowy with night, hard to tell.
What's going on here?
I wonder. All right, episode 52. A teacher is reading aloud to the class from a book about sheep, and Sakura cannot stay awake, despite Tomoyo trying to help. Sakura swoons, and Xiaodan catches her again. He still sits behind her. And the teacher notices this and embarrasses both of them.
At lunch, Sakura brings Xiaodan up to speed on the bear incident. Well, why didn't she call him? He asks. Partially, this is because it is the 90s and elementary school kids did not all have cell phones. But Tomoyo has a solution to this problem. She gives them all adorable cell phones, even one for Kero, so they can get in touch immediately.
Meanwhile, Xiaodan is dying of embarrassment over the as-yet-ungifted bear, but Sakura is too sleepy to notice it is in his bag. This sleepiness is really becoming a problem. Tomoyo tries to pump her up with excitement about the Sakura cards and how she needs to make up a cool new pose and everything to go with this new phase of her magic, but she's still sleepy.
Ariel observes that Yukito is also sleepy. Yukito himself is troubled by how he's always hungry, always sleepy, and missing chunks of memory. He is stressed, but he's also just so tired.
I can relate.
He falls asleep against a tree, and Toya finds him that way. He's happy to see Toya, at least. We get the cabedon with the tree scene here, a popular redraw the screen crap in your own style meme on the internet these days, as Toya gears up to tell him, "You think I don't know, or maybe you don't know yourself, but I don't want you to disappear." These scenes are beautifully paced and drawn with a lot of lighting and shadow details, until Nakuru cartoonishly pops out of the tree to interrupt and tell Toya a teacher was calling for him.
Toya accuses them of doing this on purpose, which they brush off, even though they definitely did. Once he's gone, Nakuru notes that Toya has figured things out, but observes to Yukito that he hasn't. Of course, Yukito remains clueless, and Nakuru reminds him not to get in their way. And they definitely mean their way singular, not in the way of the grand aerial plan or whatever, like just Nakuru's way. Don't get in Nakuru's way. Sorry, English is bad at this.
Sakura is considering her new pose while making dinner, but she also remembers the paper with the magic circle on it. She shows it to Kedo again, and he tries to pump her up and make her more cheerful.
Nobody likes to see Sakura unhappy or out of it.
Yukito comes over to drop off a book of Toya's, only it's actually Yue using an excuse to get him over there so he can confer with Kedo about his battery running down. He knows Yukito is eating for two to sustain Yue, but it isn't working anymore. And Sakura's tapped out just controlling the new cards.
Kedo, also transformed at this point, says that he's the sun, he can shine on his own, but the moon reflects light. Yue has to tap someone else's power. And if he disappears, Yukito will too, and that would make Sakura so sad. They discuss current events, close presence, and Yue brings up that there's someone else whose power he could tap, but Yukito wouldn't.
Well, we don't know what Yukito wouldn't do because Sakura comes in with tea. Yue runs away from the conversation by dumping Yukito into it, so he's just in her house being served tea after not remembering how he got inside.
Poor Yukito, seriously!
Terrible.
Later, Sakura and Shaodan are out being recorded by Tomoyo, looking for the mysterious Clo presence. She says she sensed the presence most strongly near King Penguin, the slide, but when they get there, there's a big hole!
Tomoyo wants her to show off her new finishing pose, which embarrasses her a bit, but she pushes that aside and transforms the key into her staff and summons Fly swooping into the hole. But when Kedo tries to follow behind, he's like a bird smacking a window, and Shaodan's magic can't get through either. Kedo transforms and blasts it with fire, but nothing happens. This must be Clo's power, he says.
Down in the hole, Sakura might have been spooked by the darkness, except cute stuffed sheep just fall all over her, subsuming her in fluff. Sakura defeats the sheep with the erase card all by herself. Back above the hole, she makes the boys turn around when she uses the power card to get strong enough to pick up the penguin slide and put it back over the hole?
For some reason, why is this embarrassing? She's always strong and athletic. Why would that be a problem?
I don't know. I think she was embarrassed about when she first got it, too. But I don't know why. Like, she's not even, like, wearing a skirt or something that could flip up if she bends over to pick up the giant slide. Like, she's wearing shorts and a cape.
Yeah, I worried then and I worry now that it's just, like, being big is embarrassing for some reason. Maybe that Toya calls her a kaiju thing and she wants to be small and cute and not big and powerful, but that's dumb. Let's not instill that nonsense in our next generations, okay, folks? Anyway, after transforming yet another card, she passes out again. Ariel is enjoying watching this for some reason.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Okay, episode 53. Sakta's at home, sweeping up sleepily. Ariel shows up to help out because he's a perfect child who isn't suspicious at all. He does something very suspicious to Toyo's bike, which she almost notices, but not quite.
Dad calls Sakura in and ends up meeting Ariel. He's invited in for dinner, but he demurs, saying he has to go home and make dinner himself. And as Ariel walks off, he grins, saying she's surely going to have a tough time later that day.
No one commented on how much Ariel and Fujitaka look alike. I just feel I have to point this out.
Like, I feel it would be so much weirder if they were making a point about that in the anime because of, like, again, color or character design being even less similar. Mm. Or maybe this came out before the manga and Clamp wanted to hammer home the family resemblance reincarnation connection more in the manga after the anime came out and they maybe didn't feel like it happened enough. I don't know. We'll see how much it comes up in the anime.
Yeah. I'm just taking it as a potential sign that the ending might be different. We'll see. Sakura, of course, doesn't have any worries about how ominous Ariel was, and instead just enjoys the delicious dinner her dad made. She almost nods off at the table while talking about how great she thinks Ariel is, in fact. Her dad is concerned, but she blows him off as cheerfully as possible.
Toya pops in to grab something he left behind, and he notices something is off about his bike. He asks Sakura if she touched it, and she remembers something could have happened while she was doing yard work. He forbids her to ride it, which she mistakes as like mean big brother behavior, so he doubles down on that by stealing her last fried shrimp.
Which probably didn't convince her it wasn't big mean big brother, you know, behavior. So Kaido inquires about any dessert she might have brought him, and is delighted to receive a pudding from her. But she's just so tired.
Aya Hisakawa as Kaido hams it up about how great the pudding is for a while, and the animators go crazy on it. So many episodes in, they're just lavishing love on this series still, and it's beautiful to see.
Yeah. Sakura notices that the cards she hasn't converted yet are cold to the touch, rather than warm like how they used to be. Kaido explains how her magic is like food for the cards, and the unconverted ones are asleep, not feeding. And if this goes on long enough, they might just revert into regular cards with no magic at all.
Wait, but how long were they waiting for a new master of the Klo? I guess Klo's latent power was still sustaining them or something, but it can't know that they have a new master, even though they haven't been transformed yet. Don't worry about it, I guess.
Anyway, Sakura's so upset because she just made friends with them and doesn't want to lose them. She shocks Kaido by summoning her staff and trying to convert all the cards right then and there. She goes through so many before she collapses, and they float around her. But Dash starts glowing. It was the little Eevee-like one, Pee-wee, and it's out of control. It corporealizes and hops out the windows to possess Toya's bike.
Kaido says it's panicking. Her level of power isn't enough for her to just use it like that without specific purpose and focus, so she kind of overdid it. It was a tidy way to speed through some anime-only cards, though. She tries to use Windy to catch up to the bike, but it's just too fast. As she rollerblades after it, she tries calling Tomoyo after Kaido reprimands her for not asking for help. But when she doesn't pick up, Sakura calls Shaodan.
He's blushy when he picks up her call because, oh my god, his crush. But alas, it's an absurd magic problem and not a date or whatever. And he tries to drag himself up to speed with whatever the fuck is happening. We swear a lot in this episode. I'm sorry if there are children present.
We have disclaimers.
Yeah, yeah.
If we talk about X on this podcast, this is
true. True.
We know what we're doing. It's
if
fine.
If children are listening, you've made that choice for them, parents. So we respect you, I guess. He manages to get there just in time to help cushion one of her falls as she tries to follow the bike vertically up a wall. Shaodan uses magic against it to some extent, but she doesn't want him to go too far because the card will be scared and panic even more.
This is a scaredy animal they're cornering, basically. Kaido thinks maybe they should cut off its escape routes, and Sakura thinks of Loop, but she'll have to convert another card, using up even more energy. Kaido toughens up and encourages her, saying he'll catch her if she falls. She converts Loop and makes a looping area to trap the Dash-possessed bike, and then catches it herself. She comforts Dash until it relaxes and consents to turning back into a card. Sakura makes a bit of a speech about how she's going to do her best even though everything is confusing, then collapses just as poor Tomoyo shows up.
Aw, she's so sad. She brought an outfit and everything. Well, at least she can record cute sleeping Sakura.
Her batteries die, but she perseveres and Kaido begs to be filmed himself next time.
Alright, episode 54. Sakura is making pancakes for breakfast. She finds an old calendar of her mom's, filled with handwritten notes on special dates, and this gives Sakura a sweet connection to the late Nadeshiko. She finds her brother's birthday on the calendar, it's February 29th, so it's only there on leap years, and her own birthday too.
Discussing the calendar at school triggers an unstoppable Yamazaki lie cutscene. Ariel joins in on the tall tale, even though the kids expect him to be too mature and serious, and the boys play off each other, because Klo is in fact a bullshit artist who loves lying to people. The boys end up shaking hands, becoming good friends instantly. Sakura and Shaodan are naive and believe them, though.
Meanwhile, at the high school, Toya remembers playing the organ or the piano with his mom, who was in a maid outfit. It's a confusing memory. Anyway, he plays a little piano now, wistfully, because a true clamp man plays piano.
But he's playing as a song his mom wrote, and Yukito stops by to enjoy the wistful moment, too. This does give Toya another chance to try and talk to him, and again, Nakuru interrupts, this time telling Yukito some teacher's looking for him, so he abandons Toya to Nakuru.
Sakura looks through the calendar more and sees Sonomi's birthday and great-grandfather's birthday. She still doesn't know the nice old man she met before was her great-grandpa, a fact that is a bit distressing, by the way. Sakura brings up this birthday to her very patient dad, and while they prep peas for dinner together, they discuss how her mom, who wasn't great at crafts, cooking, or sewing, still did her best on a present for her grandfather every year.
Dad admits that he only met that man once, because to him, Fujitaka was a bad guy who took Nadeshiko away. Sakura insists her dad isn't a bad guy, which he appreciates. She wants to get a gift to him somehow, and Fujitaka says he can get that taken care of.
So she gets some crafting help from her very good at sewing dad, and makes him something that evening. But the flower shop is closed, so she can't add Nadeshiko flowers with the gift.
Sakura wants her brother to play the song her mom wrote, so she can record it to send along. Sakura runs upstairs to confer with Kedo-chan, which sets up a cute gag where she surprises him and his head gets stuck in the VCR so it appears on the TV screen.
It's so good, like, good job, animators. Kedo thinks she's good to use the flower card for this, reassuring her that it's not too frivolous. Sakura wants this gift to convey her feelings, that they're all happy and her dad wasn't a bad guy.
Sonomiya is going to be the messenger here, that's Tomoyo's mother, only because Sakura made it, and she's mad at Fujitaka, but she'll deal. Later, Fujitaka gets a call from Grandpa, who actually wants to see him now, finally.
They meet in Penguin Park and catch up in a very stilted old man kind of way. Great-grandpa admits that he got a letter from Nadeshiko about how happy she was being married, since he didn't observe it firsthand, he was so mad, and now he has gifts from Sakura and Toya. With tears in his eyes, he apologizes to Fujitaka and thanks him. He admits he knew that since he was Nadeshiko's choice, of course he'd make her happy.
And Fujitaka says he knows it was a stressful situation. Nadeshiko was so young, he was so new to teaching. But Grandpa admits he was just being stubborn, and now he can't tell her she made a good choice and that would bring her happiness. But Fujitaka reassures him that he knows she can hear him, and we see a vision, or maybe an apparition, of her watching over them.
Sakura comes home to see gifts from Grandpa. She wishes she could have seen him, but she's just glad he liked the gift, which was a, like, hand-sewn pink harmonica holster or something? The gift from Grandpa is a cute doll-like old-fashioned drop-waist dress, which is very cute. What did Toya get, though, I wonder? Like, I'm glad he got included this time. He kind of missed out on Secret Grandpa Vacation Home in the last adventure, but I'm curious.
We'll never find out, because episode 55 is another Alice in Wonderland episode, kind of our bread and butter. Sakura reads Alice in Wonderland, kind of. I mean, it's not like exactly the text, it's whatever. Anyway, and recalls how being tiny before, in the last Alice-tinged episode, sucked ass. But this is a good excuse for Ariel to show up and talk about England. He describes it as looking like the illustrations in her Alice book, and she says she wishes she could go. He says something about her visiting Alice's kingdom, and Ariel gives her a golden leaf-shaped bookmark. It might just be a leaf.
Sheldon and Tomoyo are also watching this, and Sheldon is not pleased. Tomoyo is just fangirling about how cute they look together and making Sheldon squirm. They are all doing book reports. Sakura is doing Alice, Naoko has a whole stack of books, and Tomoyo has a difficult book of classic Japanese literature. Rika picked a book Terada-sensei says he loved too, and he's looking forward to her book report, and yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they go to the library, inviting Ariel with them, which induces Sheldon to speed ahead of them. At the library, Yamazaki is reading a book about cats being alien invaders, and Naoko gets involved in his tall tale about how 2/3 of all cats are aliens by now. And we all wonder if Ariel is in fact an alien in disguise himself. Sheldon needs a dictionary to read kanji still, which, very relatable, he's the best. But Ariel doesn't, which makes Sheldon squirm even more. But Ariel can't really explain any of why he can do this. My past is complicated, he says, like every fourth grader.
Yeah, real complicated. I mean, it is, but like, who? Ariel walks away, and while everyone watches him, Sakura is just straight up sucked into her Alice book. She wakes up in a field, wearing a cute heart card themed outfit with a frilly pinafore. Backgrounds look very Winnie the Pooh watercolory, and she runs into Ariel as the Cheshire Cat in a tree.
He is unhelpful. Says he has a mischievous personality, and it's hard to stay quiet about how slow she and Sheldon are, which makes her grumpy, but what can she do? He explains that she has people she can be her true self around, who he can't reveal himself to yet, refuses to elaborate, and leaves, saying she should have fun in Alice's kingdom.
Next, a white rabbit-themed Yukito jogs up, looking very dapper and fretting about being late. Sakura runs after him. He transforms into Yue, picks her up, and flies off. Much quicker this way, he says. But then he drops her.
So back in the library, the Alice book won't open, and Shadon is using his sword to try to do magic to unseal it, but no dice. Plus, he has to hide the sword whenever anyone comes by, because you're not supposed to have swords out in the library, kids. Yeah. Come on.
In Bookland, Sokka's Alice has fallen to the tea table where her brother is cast as the Mad Hatter. She loves the tea she drinks, but he informs her, smirking, that she just drank the shrinking potion. Shadon picks her up and places her on a daisy, only there are two Shadons, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, in penguin outfits.
Stargazing alert! Stargazing alert! Oh my god!
Resist! Resist!
Resisting! Anyway, the Shadons say they'll quiz her and help her if she gets it right. He likes someone, or he doesn't like someone. Now, Sakura knows he likes Yukito, so she says he does, and she passes that. The next question: is the person that he likes taller than him or not? Well, Yukito is way taller than him, so that's what she picks. But she's wrong. She's also shorter than him by like a hair, but she doesn't notice this.
Losing the game means she has to fix this herself. Luckily, she has her key. Once it is in staff form, she transforms the big card to help her grow again. She gets taller, then shrinks a bit till she's the same size as Humpty Dumpty, Tomoyo.
Finding a chessboard, she doesn't feel as properly sized anymore because Kedo-chan is the Queen of Hearts, chasing her with fire, whining about why she never listens to him.
Ariel is a floating Cheshire cat head, is unhelpful until she finds the leaf bookmark again and ascends through it, Tears of the Kingdom style, and pops out of the book. The end?
What an episode. Sakura has maybe learned that Shadon likes someone other than Yukito, and Ariel's not what he seems and has to hide who he truly is around her. How will this affect future events?
I wonder. Alright, episode 56. Kedo-chan is playing video games while Sakura struggles to get into an outfit she sewed. She fixes it up and explains that she made it for a school event using Tomoyo's pattern, which is way impressive! Patterning is so hard, like, oh my god,
yeah, this
girl. Yeah,
no, it's wild.
And since there will be sweets at the school bazaar, Kedo insists on going.
At my son Ariel, he's also sewing his outfit, and Nakuru introduces the nickname Soupy for Spinel, which he hates. He also says he hates sweets, so he's like a dark Kedo-chan.
Dun dun dun. At school, Tomoyo is filming Sakura, embarrassing her a bit, but Sakura confides that she's making Kedo wait outside. She bought him off with a hamper of sweets. The girls are delighted at the turnout for the festival, and Yamazaki makes up a crazy story about bazaars coming from echoes at Niagara Falls or something before being bustled out by Chiharu. Nika serves snacks to Tadada-sensei, and he compliments her hard work.
Shadon gets flustered by Sakura while Ariel watches, which, boy, that seems to be a theme, or the other way around. But Sakura's called out to serve an order to Yukito, and her brother, who is less than polite. She's delighted that Yukito enjoys the snacks, though, and he calls her cute. Toya tries to ruin it, but Yuki is too cheerful. Then Toya senses a presence, and we pull back to see Ariel, who knows he's been noticed and has to keep a lower profile. Oopsie!
Nakuto approaches where Kedo is hiding with his food orgy hamper, singing about sweets. Nakuto teases Soupy about not wanting any sweets. Soupy flies off to hide where Nakuto involves themselves in school shenanigans and runs into Kedo. That Soupy did that, that is, runs into Kedo.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is hate at first sight. Soupy knows who Kedo is, but Kedo may not know who Soupy is other than an obvious rival, who he says has a big head, causing a pratfall because, like, Soupy doesn't immediately point out they have the exact same proportions, like, because that would give it all away, but he also insists he's not a toy when Kedo assumes this. Kedo destroys him by almost guessing what he is, but instead guesses he's a yokai, which he finds very insulting as he thinks he's more like a yosei. Yokai being, you know, folklore beasts used in spirits, especially the ordinary objects that have apotheosized but not too godlike status kinds of creatures, usually mischievous and ugly, whereas yosei is what fairy gets translated to, so a prettier and friendlier connotation.
Kedo introduces himself with way too much info while Soupy frets. He introduces himself as Soupy, and Kedo makes fun of that name, which makes him irate, as if he were not already irate. But when he offers to shake and make friends, despite seeing him as just a blob of idiocy, Soupy decides to respond with a shake himself to avoid suspicion. And when Kedo invites him to eat sweets, he's forced to deal with this situation, as Kedo force-feeds him chocolate, to his horror and dismay. Except, then he goes mad with sweets lust, and becomes much more Kedo-like and deranged, flying off in search of more sugar!
And when Kaido tries to catch up, it seems his new pal's been flying through the bazaar, stealing all the sweets. Soopy finds some that were nicely wrapped and chows down, and almost distracts Kaido with a donut, but Kaido knows this would mess up Sakura's life, so he resists and tries to stop him. They fly past some teachers who just think it was the wind and have a magic fight in the woods that topples a whole fucking tree.
So irresponsible, Soopy! Kaido catches up to Sakura, tells her to put everyone to sleep while they deal with the monster he's unleashed. Soopy is willing to obliterate Kiro with a ruby beam, but Kaido transforms and blocks it. Errol uses magic to snare the errant Soopy from off-screen, leaving Kaido to take the heat from Sakura about eating all the sweets throughout the bazaar.
When he draws Soopy to show Sakura who the thief was, they think he's just drawing himself. Sakura's so mad, and she gets very mom at him. It's very beautiful.
They both did sense Clo's presence, because of course Errol is nearby watching Soopy sleep it off. Errol astutely observes that maybe Soopy and Kaido would get along well after all.
I recall that one of the Cardcaptor Sakura soundtracks has an image song where Kaido and Soopy's voice actresses do an unhinged duet about sweets that unfortunately I have in my head, but not in my music collection anymore.
Oh no! That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's the chorus is them like yelling, Okashi, Oishi, a lot. I don't know. It's very good for elementary schoolers, which I wasn't when I heard it, but it's fine.
Hey. All right, on to episode 57, and we're getting close to the end of today's session anyway.
Yeah, there's still another 12 episodes after this. We have the second half of this last season to go in our final anime episode. Oh god, it won't be the final anime episode.
Nope. Not at all.
No, because there's movies.
There's movies, and there's dubs, and there's yep.
Anyway, Lucy, while you were obsessing over your crushes, Shadon was studying the blade, and also obsessing over his crushes, which is really getting in the way of his blade studying.
I do relate to all of that! He's very upset that he likes Sakura. He was so much less upset about liking Yukito. It's adorable. He remembers what Yue said to him about discovering who he really cares about. And god, it's just so relatable. Like, it's always less scary when deep down you know they're unavailable. Like, you can just kind of like them with no actual, like, obligation to do anything.
Bro, that's a key point in the novel I'm working on right now, Lucy. But a feeling I cannot quite relate to because it just creates despair for me. Oh. Anyway, at school, Sakura shows up like a beam of sunshine. Nika shows her a flyer for a teddy bear exhibit, which they want to go to, and Ariel invites himself along, which drives Shadon mad, so he stomps over, making Tomoyo oh-ho-ho graphically in the background, and he gets invited too.
Tomoyo really is the ultimate fangirl. Her OTP just happens to be IRL, and she enjoys every dramatic twist thrown their way. The soundtrack gifts us with a contemplative guitar solo while Shadon thinks about his encounters with Sakura that day, and looks up from his pond-side reverie to hear Sakura getting excited about the exhibit, which is giving away free bears to attendees.
Ariel catches him, says Sakura sure is cute, and causes him to run the fuck away from his feelings again. Ariel smirks about this. This is a cycle that we have. Shadon runs headlong into Yukito, and they have another moment together, walking home. Yukito notices he's sullen and asks what's up. Shadon is not very forthcoming, but Yukito suggests eating, because that's what he needs to do. He takes them to a shop where he wants to buy cookie cutters to make cookies as a thank you for all the dinners the Kinomoto family invite him to. Shadon picks out one shaped like a bear, and Yukito picks up a comically huge sun and moon.
Shadon reassures him that Sakura will like anything he makes, and ends up going on about how great Sakura is, and Yukito notices he likes her, and Shadon runs away again. I feel like Shadon's running away quota has gone up since the first season, which is like saying a lot considering it was mostly what he did for his first few episodes.
He's starting to accept he really does like her, and at home he finds a message from Sakura telling him what time they're going to go to the exhibit. Well, it's two messages. The second one is where she gives him the info, because the first one is interrupted by tripping on Kaido's game console. It's so cute. Shadon sees the bear he made again, and contemplates what to do with it. He chooses to toss it away from him, and re-listens to Sakura's messages while lying sadly on his bed, because this is what love will do to you.
We get a nice funky insert song sung by Shadon's voice actor with cute leaf overlays and cutaways as we see the kids go to the teddy bear exhibit together and watch him watch her as he comes to terms with his feelings for more and more.
There's lovely animation of a ginkgo leaf for Shadon and a cherry leaf for Sakura. The song ends, and the kids discuss the cute bears at a cafe. Well, Tomoyo discusses how cute Sakura was, the rest of them maybe are talking about bears. Anyway, Sakura's sad, thinking her bear would have turned out better if she saw the exhibit first.
Ariel needles Shaodan, innocently, I guess, about the bear he hasn't given away yet, and Shaodan gets stiff and says they need to go home before the sun sets.
Sad violin plays as he runs to the elevator.
Sakura catches up with him, but Ariel does some magic bullshit to mess up the elevator before he and Tomoyo can get on, trapping Sakura and Shaodan in an elevator episode. He's very smug about this. Guess he's also a shipper?
The kids can't call out and don't know what to do. Shaodan knows their friends would get them help, so they should just wait. But the waiting takes a long, long time, and Sakura starts crying because it's so dark and lonely and stressful. He uses a tag to light a small flame to illuminate things for her, and she unfolds a towel for him to sit on. He's very nervous about it, but when he allows himself to come over, she gives him some of the cookies Yukito made. Kato ate most of them off camera, by the way.
They break the bear cookie that's left in half and share it, and he has feelings when she praises Yukito's cookies.
Outside in the hall, Ariel uses a giant staff to do magic-ass magic that complicates their situation more. There's kind of a weird artifacting effect, like Sakura's being pulled away into the darkness.
Shaodan runs after her, but can only watch as she falls into what seems to be a bottomless pit with jagged edges. He calls out to her, bereft, and she floats up on the float card because, of course, a pit can't defeat her! He's so relieved he hugs her.
This was actually kind of reminiscent of Sakura being trapped in the darkness during the school play that helped her discover the light and dark cards, by the way.
Ariel is proud of Shaodan for expressing his feelings, and then back at home, Sakura calls Shaodan to thank him and says she appreciated that he was concerned for her in the elevator. She thinks they've become really good friends. Does he think so too? He agrees, stumbling over his words a bit, and feels better when she hangs up.
A cherry leaf blows past him at the end of the episode.
Symbolism!
Alright, we got one to go.
Yep, episode 58. The kids are gathered in the park looking for the source of the Clo presence again, and getting nowhere when it starts to rain and they just tap out. Yui almost sees Ariel and company in the, distance or whatever, though. Ariel's hench people are like, are you going to let them go? Are you planning something? And he just smirks.
I love how really no one knows what Ariel's up to except Ariel.
Yeah.
At the house, Yue announces he's de-transforming, but Kato reminds him he needs to go first so Yukito doesn't see his true form. Sakura is concerned for Yue standing in the rain, but he says he doesn't catch cold, so it's no biggie. But then they sense Clo's presence acutely, and all of a sudden, Yue and Kato can't change forms at all.
Ariel smirks down at them, unseen by them, but seen by us.
Sakura has to sneak around to make sure no one sees full-form Keroberos, and Yue sneak into her room, because it is a big animal wearing armor and a guy. Just a guy. With, wings and shit.
Kato gets stuck in the window for, mini beats of maybe not the best animation, until Yue suggests just, putting his wings away in order to get through the window.
Sakura throws Yue a towel, and they discuss what's going on. It sure is inconvenient. They can't think of anything to do about this, and they still can't detransform.
Okay, but, Yukito has a whole-ass house. They could just, go there.
Yeah, but then they won't be there to help Sakura.
I guess. I just feel like her sneaking out for the night might be easier than them sneaking in. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Toya hears Kato's man voice from the room and is understandably suspicious, but Sakura covers up the fact she has a lion and a man in her room. By the way, she does this not by, the TV was on, but, it was me making this voice! And, while she's talking to Toya in the doorway, they're just, standing on her bed, pushed up against the wall, trying to pretend they're not there. It's a funny beat. Toya is suspicious and probably knows more than he's letting on, but just tells her to go to bed.
Sakura sits on the floor hugging a pillow as they all try to figure out what to do about this miserable situation. They're getting so tired, maybe it'll just be okay in the morning. Sakura offers her bed to Yue, but he's fine propped up against her shelves, it's fine. And why didn't she offer the bed to Kato? Well, she doesn't wanna, because she says he's a fucking lion and he's fine, which is true.
Also, like, I feel like Yue feels more like a guest in her room, whereas Keto always lives there, albeit usually much smaller. And then there's the whole Yukito thing, obviously.
Yeah, it makes it weird.
Anyway, she gets to use her bed after all. They all seem to fall asleep, though she thinks about how she just can't see Yukito and Yue as the same person. And she doesn't want to think about how she may never see Yukito again if he's stuck in Yue form.
Sadly, she wakes up to Kero failing to detransform again. No luck for Yue either. Sakura tries to act like things are normal again at breakfast, but she's relieved when her dad and brother finally head out.
Upstairs, Kero spears cookies on his claws and happily munches to take his mind off things. Sakura thinks he's way too casual about this, and Kero thinks she has too much to do to just fret over him. She needs to make dinner and stuff to keep her brother off her back, after all. She puts Kero to work, and he says it isn't fair if Yue doesn't help too, but she's a bit intimidated by Yue, so she just invites him to take a rest, which prompts Kero to tear up the living room at fury at this double standard.
Ariel and company are, like, scrying in on this one, and Nakano laughs at the idea of Yue doing chores, which is funny. Supi must do all the chores in their home because he says he wishes Nakano would do some fucking chores, and Nakano says they don't have to because they're cute.
Can I get away with that excuse?
I feel like that's what my rats think is happening. Oh. They're like, oh yeah, we're way too handsome to do any work. Mm-hmm. Our job is to lie around and look good.
Back at home, Sakura needs her dad's kanji signature chop to sign for a package, and Kato hands it to her from off frame, but the delivery guy sees a lion's paw and is like, what? And I'm like, don't worry, my dad's just a furry, it's fine.
It's fine. Next, Kato's doing laundry and has learned from laundry mishaps in previous episodes, so he puts in a more reasonable amount of soap this time. While Sakura cooks, she again hasn't asked Yue to do fucking anything, and Kato's grumpy. He says she and Chloe both spoil Yue, and Kero throws a bag of flour at Yue, which dusts Kero in white and ruins her cooking.
Kero cracks up, but it's a tired laugh. Sakura has to wash him now. He reminds her of the bubble card, but says she has to seriously focus on washing him when she releases the card, or else it will go out of control. Turns out that Chloe used this card to wash Kerberos all the time.
He also used it to do dishes and laundry, which Kero found insensitive. He gets head up thinking about all the annoying things Chloe did, and Sakura backs away.
When she comes back to the kitchen, it's spotless. Yue cleaned up after all. But he barely acknowledges this. She brings up the bubble card being used to wash Kero, but Yue doesn't laugh about it at all. She realizes Yue really just still loves Chloe because of the serene expression he has on his face when he talks about him. Just like the one her dad has when he talks about loving her mom and how he'd fall in love with her again if she were reincarnated.
He was quiet about this, but does not deny it. Sakura opens up the package she received earlier. Fresh crab! This gives her an idea because crabs have a shell that protects them. She uses shield, since it cuts out magic attacks, and it cancels out the magic blocking them from transforming. And that means poor Yukito just wakes up in her house, confused. Ariel says the shield card gets more powerful the more you hold something dear, the more you want to protect it. Good job, Sakura.
Should I do this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yukito's apparently having dinner with them now, which obviously neither Sakura nor Toyo object to. She's fed her crab croquette to Kato, who enjoys it but kind of knows only Chloe could have perpetuated that mischief on them, so what the fuck is going on?
But we'll have to wait for next time to find out.
Yes. Okay. Time for some discussion points, Robin.
Yeah. So I wasn't sure how they were going to draw this part out for an entire season. but I do think it's working and the tension is holding. Like, we know Ariel's deal and the audience would definitely have suspicions, but it isn't all completely transparent at this point. Plus, there's so many characters who have feelings that all need to be explored. Also interesting, because while the manga kind of just veers away from her using Chloe cards by the end, they feel much more alive in her world in the anime. Like, she'll keep using them after the story is done. Not that we're quite to that point yet.
So, I don't know if it's just because I know what's coming and don't actually remember a time when I didn't know, like, Ariel's whole deal. But he's giving me, like, big gay best friend energy. Like, he never feels like a love interest to Sakura, even though his actions do position him as that, and, like, Shaodan certainly sees him as a threat. And he's so happy to do all sorts of, like, quote-unquote girly things with them, like making teddy bears, which of course you don't have to do if you're a gay guy. You can do that anyway. Anyone can enjoy making teddy bears, but, like, I'm just having a hard time seeing him threatening in any way, and he definitely just has that, like, buddy energy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think he definitely is trying to get Shaonan's goat, and he does weirdly seem like he is trying to romance this descendant of his.
Yeah.
It's really weird, and it's not weird in, like a danger pedophilia way. It's weird in a, what the fuck is your end game here? Like, what are you doing? Why are you like this? Like, why is this what you would do? It's weird. It's some weird shit.
Yeah.
But no, there's, I think that part of what we mean there is, like, man, like, he does just feel like baby Seishido somehow. Like, he does. It's awkward.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's weird.
And it must be especially weird, like, to watch the anime not knowing, because I'm pretty sure by the time I got to this part of the anime, I'd read the manga, I think? I don't know. Who even knows? But, yeah, I can't, like, unknow what I know. However, Happy, my fiance who's watching this with me, has no idea about any of this and has many theories as we watch this. The leading one is that they are evil Clocards or possibly anti-Clocards.
Man, some Clamp series have big twists and some have little ones. And Cardcaptor Sakura definitely has little ones. Sorry, Happy.
Yeah, but he also has some special nicknames for some of the characters that I would like to share with you. So,
gimme.
Soupy is Zero, so he can rhyme and have Kato and Zero, or Kiro and Zero, or whatever. And likewise, his WA and Nakuru Moon Rocks and Mars Rocks. I'm not entirely sure why, but, like, I get the moon part. I don't know where he went with anything else, but sure. And of course, he's sure that Ariel is the BBEG, which I've now learned means Big Bad Evil Guy. Not sure how much this term is used outside of very specific video game fandoms, but I hadn't heard of it, and he said it like it was a thing everyone knows, and I was just like, no, I still call them big bads because I injected a lot of Buffy at a young age, so I don't know. But there we are. So, speaking of, well, no real transition, poor Shaonan has some big emotions in this chunk of episodes, doesn't he? Like, I don't know, for some reason, this part of the anime more than the manga was giving me, like, middle and high school crush flashbacks. And I don't know why it didn't hit the same in the manga, but I was just like, oh god, poor Shaonan. Everything will definitely be alright.
Yeah, no, we had, like, a whole episode that was just watching him be sad about it. And it was kind of great. Like, it's interesting because a lot of this series, we've seen Sakura swooning with all of her feelings for everyone she has feelings for. Mostly Yukito, but a little bit, you know, else than that. And it was kind of great for him to suddenly get that. Like, I have never loved Shaonan as much as I do in this watch through. He is a delight. And really, there's a lot of time given to seeing him struggle here. I know he had a lot of fans of every gender when the show first aired. Interesting how the Cardcaptor's dub famously tried to retool the show to centralize him more, but frankly, he's already a main character with a lot of emotional development and camera time as is, and male viewers did connect with him, and his feelings about Sakura, and possibly Yukito, I'd imagine, just fine without things being recut.
But Robin, you don't meet him for like 12 episodes or something. Think of the boys! And also my apologies to Cardcaptor's fans. Like we mentioned, we do still intend to do an episode on the dubbed versions. Don't worry, your time is coming. All right, so you mentioned earlier that this half of the episode, or this half of the season, does kind of give room for all these emotions to be happening and like character beats that kind of makes the like less really big plot stuff not a problem. I will say, I think the part that maybe is the weakest of that is, like, Yukito and Toya's relationship. Because I swear, like, 99% of the reason Nakuru exists is to cockblock Toya long enough that his relationship with Yukito can't develop faster than the rest of the plot. Because, like, they got them, They just need a conversation, right? Like, they are literally a conversation away from a resolution, and the only way to stop it happening is to, I guess, only ever try and have this conversation in public places where Nakuru can interrupt them, and it doesn't entirely work for me.
It doesn't. It works way better in the manga, where, like, the time passes at the speed of comic panels. In the anime, where, like, it's clear a lot of time is passing, it feels really awkward. It's also not a recipe to make a popular character.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ruby Moon's impish personality gets them a lot of love to make up for it. I mean, I think that Nakuru is a fun contrast to Yue, who is, like, the least fun person in the whole show. Like, Yue is a great character, but, like, has like, no personality. Is, like, never has fun.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. Like, I don't know. Also, this batch of episodes had some really good insight into Yue, while still leaving things in appropriate for elementary school girls' zone. I don't know. I mean, I know we're going to come back and talk about this even more, but it's really hit me how much Clamp nailed the multi-level story in Cardcaptor Sakura. Like, if you are Sakura's age and focus on her and Shoudan and Tomoyo, it's a great story. If you're older and see it from Toya and Yukito or even the parents' generation's point of view, it's also really interesting and definitely sadder. So as a kid, you get all of that, but the older perspectives are pushed to the background where they should be, and that feels like their own life experience. Things happening to you as a fourth grader are more real and important than family tragedies and teen romances that are influencing your life from above.
Yeah, totally. I think they thread that needle really well. Okay, so I think one last thing, really related to that last episode we just talked about. I love big whiny full film care though in that episode. Like, normally when he's like that, we kind of see him as like dignified and giving her advice and stuff, but like this was a good reminder that he is just like the same character.
Yeah, because of the switch up for the voice actors, it actually does kind of make you feel like Hiro's not the same character, so this was a good way to, like, remind you, like, no, it's the same guy. He always thinks that he is that big lion thing, so he always thinks he has dignity, even though he generally, in fact, does not. You said that was the one last thing, but I actually have one last thing.
Do it!
It's so dumb, I'm sorry. At some point, Lucy flubbed a line, which it won't be left in, don't worry. But it just, like, it set my brain on fire because it forced me to realize that Sakura and Chocula, like, cannot Chocula rhyme? And, like, I don't know, just thinking about this, and I have nothing, this is not going anywhere. I have nothing for you. All I can tell you is that realizing that Sakura and Chocula rhyme is like a flower blooming in my brain. It is making me so happy. Like, just my morale is improving just thinking about this. I have no endpoint. I have no use for this. I just like to know this. It is like, it's just beautiful. Well, so there you go. That's insight into where I'm at right now is like Sakura Chocula.
Yeah.
We'll
just put that out into the world for a good omen for your week, everyone. All right, so in our next episode, we'll be discussing the last half of the last season of Cardcaptor Sakura, though not the end of talking about the Cardcaptor Sakura anime, because there are still two movies, and we're going to talk about the dubs, so there's still more episodes to come. But that's where we'll be.
Until then, you can follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at ClampcastPod, on Facebook as Clampcast at Wonderland, and on our website, clampcastinwonderland.com.
You can support us on Patreon, by making purchases through our bookshop.org store, or just by writing a review or sharing this podcast with your friends. Reviews and Apple Podcasts are especially helpful.
Thanks for coming with us on our journey through Clamp's Wonderland.
Until next time, remember that everything will definitely be all right.
And try not to lose an eye.